our galactic coordinates.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is L.A. Steel. Tonight we're going to continue our discussion about Bashar. I pulled up a few more videos of it from YouTube. You can pick up them. You can go see them. Actually, there's quite a number of them. Just put in the name Bashar into YouTube, and you'll be quite surprised at how many there are. I guess to start with, I will, for those of you who hadn't heard the last show, Bashar is an entity, an extraterrestrial entity, a transdimensional entity that has that channels through this person, Daryl Inka, I believe his name is, and I don't know if you believe in this. I don't even know if I believe that this is true, but regardless if it is or isn't, let's take it on the merit of what the man is saying, and whether it's extraterrestrial or not, it's a fascinating discussion, and the guy's right on the money about a lot of issues and a lot of things. He predicts the future. He tells about the past. He explains the hyperdimensional aspects of our existence and of our universe, and that there are parallel universes on other dimensions that are higher vibratory dimensions. And he talks about those things, and he talks about his connection to us, as well as our connection to his society, and why he's coming back, or why he's here, trying to bring the message of hope and bringing the understanding of the higher and enlightened consciousness and what it means, and that we are already there, and we're there in many ways. We have evolved in many ways. However, we're still in that cynical stage of believing, but not really fully wanting to believe, because of so much disappointment in our own lives, and having knowledge of the basics of survival on this planet. Changing those ideas to them becoming instantaneously manifested is quite a bit to grapple with, but nevertheless a brilliant concept, and a concept that should be fully appreciated for the value that for the significance that it might mean to, that it would mean to our existence. Breaking that barrier of ignorance to the extent that we no longer are dependent upon anybody for anything, for our sustenance, for our money, for our job, for our existence, for our anything that we do, we may have it. 60-year-old men will, 70-year-old men, 80-year-old men, 90-year-old men, women, can live on and on and on and on and on without, with better health, with younger bodies, with younger spirits, in great health, and physical prowess. And in all of these things, with all the necessities of life, and all the many things we desire, can be ours, and are ours now, if we just understand how they've been achieved, and that we can do that again and again and again and again and again, regardless of our age or income or our IQ. We just have to acknowledge that we can do it, and that our what we perceive and what we conceive achieve. And that's what's coming now, and in this gradual, well, it's more than gradual now. It's rapidly approaching 2011, which is the year that we will be able to do this. That this evolution will begin. It's trans-dimensional journey to the new universe, to the new world existence. And that's something that we can look forward to if we can believe in it enough to for it to happen. And this is what this is why this Bashar fascinates me, because as bizarre as Bashar is, it's just another way that the universe speaks to us, that we are spoken to through higher intelligence. And so let us go to that, to some of his first there's an interview that I wanted to show talk about with you. It's about 6 or 7 minutes long, and it's regarding Bashar is interviewed by Alan Steinfeld of New Realities. New Realities, which is a program, I believe. And the Alan Steinfeld is asking the channeler Daryl at Daryl the Anka, I believe, Daryl Anka, the channeler, okay, who is, and he's Alan is actually talking to Bashar. So we're going to start that now, and we'll be right back afterwards. This is Alan Steinfeld actually asking Bashar who he is, where he comes from, and what he's all about.
Tell us where you're from, who you are, basically, what time frame you exist in.
We are in what you might call an alternate dimension of reality, although we have our own discussion, shall we say, with physical reality. We have our own experience, shall we say, with the idea of physical reality. You would perceive us as somewhat physicalized. In our reality, we exist, like you, on a planet. In its ancient term, it is called Esasani, which means place of living light. We are, in that sense, genetically related to your species, which is why we bear some resemblance to you, as we are an offshoot hybrid race created in part with human genetic material. We, in that sense, are also evolving in our own capacity, and in that we are connected to you, in that you are our ancestors, so to speak, us being in our reality seemingly about 300 years in your future, we thus reach back to you across that divide from one dimension to the other to also be of assistance to you and to answer the invitation that your people have given off with regard to awakening to spirituality and inviting in any consciousness that is also willing to participate with you in the adventure of that awakening. And so, like the relationship that I have with the physical channel sitting before you, where I am, in a sense, the channel's future self and the channel, in a sense, is my past incarnation on your planet, we are thus then, in a sense, the same soul. And this is true with many of you on your world. Many of us on our world are, in that sense, the future incarnations of many of you. And thus we will reach back to ourselves through our consciousness and thus aid and assist you in your experience to move up the ladder, even as we also move up the ladder, aided and assisted by higher consciousnesses above and beyond us.
So the soul is a continuum of expression in the sense all soul experiences are happening at the same time.
Yes, time in that sense is your illusion in space-time reality. Everything is simultaneously coexistent, yet at the same time, because it is coexistent, we can break through the barrier of the illusion of space and time and speak and connect to any being in any reality, no matter what time frame it seems to exist in within its own cognizance. Yes.
So we are like a film existing within one frame of a continuum.
Yes. And we exist in another, but also you can come from the point of view of what you might call the film's projectionist, where you can hold the strip of film in front of your face and see all the frames at the same time.
Exactly. So there might be somebody that wants to channel through Bashar in some greater evolution of this soul's expression.
Yes. And this does occur.
It does. Who would you be channeling?
My own higher self, which is connected to non-corporeal consciousness, connected to the star system that you know as Sirius.
And you are where, in what star system, 300 years in the future?
Again, the idea of our star system is called Shaw, but it is not in your physical reality, so unless you make a vibratory adjustment to our dimension, our star is invisible to you, and from our reality, your star system is invisible to us unless we shift into your reality. But if we were to overlay our dimensional reality and our galactic coordinates with your dimensional reality and your galactic coordinates, you could say that our star system is about 500 of your light years in the direction of the Orion constellation.
I see. So you move. So you sort of moved out of the home planet Earth after the hybridization of the greys and humans.
I have never existed on your planet.
How?
Our civilization in that sense was created, and the planet in that sense was formed for us as well, and our civilization placed on that planet to grow and to learn.
So where's Earth now, 300 years in the future? Can you tap into that?
It is, in that sense, a planet that has changed drastically from what you understand it to be in your present day and age, and it is a civilization with whom we interact, and it is a civilization that also belongs as a member of what we might loosely call an association of worlds or an interstellar alliance.
What sort of changes have happened on Earth? I feel close.
There have been many different kinds of sociological, economic, and political changes.
Mm.
You have created what you may call a type of organizational system that actually functions as a coordinating body to allow there to be the coordination of skills, the coordination of resources for those that require it. There is also the idea of unlimited energy sources tapping into the planet's electromagnetic field directly. In that sense, you have reversed much of the idea of what you call pollution on your planet by that time. You have, in this sense, also erased many of the national borders. Not all of them, but many of them.
Mm.
You will find that you have begun to change your economic system to something based on the skill sets of the individuals in the society instead of what you might refer to now as an artificial or arbitrary means of exchange. You have begun to grow more crops in a variety of ways to feed many more people on your planet, but you have also allowed people to begin to extend to other planets as well as you develop spacecraft similar in function to those that we possess.
I know part of the reason you're here is to make this transition into our global conscious society.
To assist you in doing so, not to make it for you, but to assist you by giving you a perspective that works for us, and if you choose to decide that our perspective works for you, then you can, in fact, incorporate it into your reality as well.
Well, it seems like something's working. We are opening up our consciousness to this type of phenomena, and many people are evolving.
Yes.
To a higher state. So this initial change, you said, will begin in 2012, but it's already begun.
The idea of a higher form of accelerated change will allow foundations to be laid down, even though you are crossing a threshold of energy and consciousness in 2012. You will begin to see some of the fruits of this change between your years of 2025 and 2033. And by 2050, you will find that you will have made enough changes so as to truly be functioning as a full-fledged member of the Interstellar Alliance.
All right, that was his introduction by Alan Shepard, and we're going to continue here in a second. I just want to, there was one other I wanted to have you read, listen to, and yeah. There's a couple here that I think are beneficial for us tonight. But I'm not certain which one would be best to talk about first. Bashar on Abundance and Trusting What Is. Bashar, channeled by Daryl Anka, talks about the nature of abundance and how to attract what you want in your life and be all right with what you have. Now, this was posted over 2 years ago. And this one here is also 2 years ago. But Bashar, as channeled through Daryl Anka, talks about living in unlimited joy by following your passion and your highest excitement. And this is truly how. So I think I want to go to that first, and then we will go on to the abundance and trusting. And finally, we'll end up with teleportation, which is something that I think we all might be interested in.
I feel I'm going into a direction where I'm about to go on a crossroad where I'm choosing something, and I'm wondering...
Is it your highest excitement?
I guess what I'm asking is how I would uncover my highest excitement or how I would come closer to...
Oh, all right. Well, may I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Why, thank you.
Yes.
Are you telling me you can't recognize the difference between something that excites you and something that doesn't?
No, I can.
You can?
I can.
Then where's the difficulty?
In choosing what?
Ask you the question again.
There's a lot of things that...
Oh, no. I know. No offense. No judgment. I know you humans create a lot of reasons.
Right.
Create a lot of seeming things that you must consider.
Yes.
But really...
Right.
You don't.
Okay.
You see, when you understand what excitement is, you will realize why you don't have to always look at every single little detail in order to know what to do. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about this on two levels primarily.
Right.
The most fundamental level is this. When we talk about the idea of acting on your joy to the best of your ability, we mean at every given moment on anything. It doesn't have to be a career thing, but they're connected.
Right.
So, in other words, if right now, out of all the options you have when you leave this discussion with us, out of all the options you have available to you of things you could choose to do, if you look at all the options and you realize that simply taking a walk or driving your car or calling a friend is the most exciting thing out of all the options, that's the thing to do, just because it's the most exciting. You don't need a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
It's the excitement that tells you that's the next thing you need to do. And here's the other level. It's the excitement in the simple things that tells you what simple things are actually connected to the bigger things that excite you.
Mm-hmm.
And will actually get you there in what may seem to be a roundabout manner, but by following the excitement is actually the shortest, fastest, straightest path. So, every moment, if you simply choose the thing that excites you the most at that moment, out of all the things you have available to you, that you have the best ability to actually take action on, do it. Take action on that thing. When you can take action on that thing no further, look around for the next most exciting thing you have the greatest ability to take action on and do that, whatever it is. Even if it doesn't seem connected to anything else, do it because the excitement tells you it is connected.
Okay.
Now, once you start doing that, once you get into that pattern, you will sensitize yourself to the idea of excitement. You'll become a better sensor for the concept of what does excite you and what doesn't, and you won't create so many things to consider
right. Before
you will simply be willing to take action on your excitement. Not only because of that, not only because you become a better sensor of it, but also because you begin to understand the principle that excitement is its own self-contained kit and its own driving engine. When you act on your excitement to the best of your ability every moment, you begin to experience synchronistically that the exciting thing you're doing actually contains all of the things you actually need to consider. And what it doesn't contain, you don't need to consider. It's a self-contained kit that always perpetuates more of the same, more excitement, and brings with it the things that actually are important for you to have to look at in that process of continuing and expanding your excitement. So what doesn't come with it isn't part of that kit and has no business taking time in your life. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Does this help you?
Yes.
Do you think you're actually willing to live this way?
Yes, I'm actually getting emotional about feeling that.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Then perhaps we have struck a chord.
Yes.
That's what you want. You want that passion. You want that vibration. You want to understand the excitement, what you translate as that feeling, that love, that passion, is the vibration of your true natural self in the way you are actually created. That's why it's always the beacon to move toward. You're actually moving toward yourself and more and more and more of yourself every time you are willing to take a step toward your excitement by acting on the situation that contains the most of it without cluttering it up with other things that actually are not a part of that excitement.
Mm-hmm.
But if those things come up, you don't deny them. You recognize they're there for a reason. And the reason they're there is for you to understand what information they have for you by processing them that will tell you more about who you are, so that in learning more of who you are, you can continue to act more and more and more every day, every moment, on more of your excitement.
Yeah.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
As a process, as an idea, as a mechanism.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I guarantee to all of you, this is how life works and how it will become an ecstatic explosion of excitement and synchronicity. The more that you trust it, the more that you live it, you will see that it is so. It will prove itself to you. But you have to take the first step. And remember, it is believing is seeing. Not seeing is believing. You understand?
Yes.
And the belief does not have to be foundationless. You will understand that what we are talking about here is simply pure physics. What you put out is what you get back. The more you demonstrate in your behavior to the universe that you're willing to believe that what excites you the most is what you're all about by your actions, the more the universe will reflect more of that back to you. But here's the polarized aspect of it. When you start acting on your joy, don't assume with expectation that you must see things outside of you change. They can and often will. And often very rapidly. When you change your vibration, the outside will often change. However, if it doesn't immediately do so, don't assume you've done something wrong. Don't assume that you are not seeing a representation of your excitement. Understand, every single thing in physical reality, every single situation and circumstance serves double duty. They're all neutral props. They have no built-in meaning. So when you know you're following your joy, you might still see the very same scenario all around you manifesting. The difference that lets you know there's a difference is that you respond differently to it than you did before. Not that it looks different. It's that you act differently toward it than you did before. That's what lets you know your reality has actually changed, because no matter what it looks like, you're now only going to get a positive effect out of it. No matter what anyone else's intention in that scenario may be toward you, the only effect you will get is the meaning you've given it, even if it looks the same as it did a moment ago. Is all of this making some coherent sense to you?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Then I thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and that was Bashar. And we're going to continue here in just a second. I hope you enjoyed that one. It was a little weird in that it's Bashar is weird, but you have to understand that what he's saying, I think I understand, is that we always direct our thoughts toward whatever excites us, whatever that may be. And whatever excites us intellectually and sensually and, alarmingly, whatever grabs our attention is what most excites us. So if we are pursuing our goals in whatever field they are, then something that what's causing that pursuit of that career or that pursuit of that relationship or of that knowledge or whatever it may be that we're pursuing is the excitement of having it, the excitement of knowing it, the excitement of experiencing it, you know, and wanting that experience. So, of course, that's what leads us there. And he's absolutely right. If we ask why we're in a certain position or a certain place in time, be it good or bad, we have to say what has been causing this attraction to this. Why are we being excited by this? And do we live in a crisis mode so that we can that we're constantly short circuiting our capacity for excitement, and everything is exciting. We need excitement all the time, you know, massive doses of it, whatever we do. So I suppose that's true. And I mean, people that are extremely excited about creating an industry or a business or whatever are doing that every single day. And like myself, I'm excited about talking to listeners on this show, talking about Bashar, talking about these entities. These things, this knowledge rather excites me. Whether or not it's real, it exists. I mean, it does exist to the degree that it's being viewed, and the person did produce a program around it. But at the same time, is it real? I don't know. Is the Bible real? Is anything really real? I mean, wisdom. Whether it comes from the medium or the spirit source is rather irrelevant, you know, when you think about it. If whatever it is making sense to you and is guiding you to a higher understanding, then I thank the messenger. But at the same time, you know, if the spirit is there, then I accept that. Then I also thank the spirit and the messenger. And that's what we're doing tonight. So in the year 2011 and 2012, and in this period of this sixth night that we'll be entering in November, but the sixth day and the sixth night of the Mayan calendar specifically states that we will be meeting our galactic neighbors, you know. We will be meeting and becoming more aware and more accepting and more enlightened in the understanding. understanding of other galaxies and other universes and other dimensions where our minds can grasp this concept. And as we can grasp the concept, then of course we allow the ability within us to accept these alternate or alternative voices messages. Because we're receiving messages constantly during the day from one thing or another. I mean, why should this entity be any less of a entity than the one who is within Obama, you know, Barack Obama, you know? Is he being fed by an entity? Some people believe so. So it's like, you know, these things are all questionable, but it's what comes from your deeds. It's what comes from your from the message itself that, you know, you take it to, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's not, it's, you've paid nothing for it other than your time to listen. And so you could be doing that or watching a sitcom rerun. And so I'm basically going to go and get another video here. Let's see. Finding your best excitement. I just went to that. But what I wanted to do is go to this brief talk on teleportation. It speaks about teleportation, what happens to our physics when contact does happen, and side effects do occur. So that'd be interesting. Let's see what that's all about.
And I wanted to hear about, I understand there seems to be a mode of transportation called teleportation.
Yes. And in fact, we believe your own scientists are beginning to get a handle on that. I believe recently your own scientists actually teleported a molecule.
I understand that the human brain, I don't know if it's the brain, but we're actually able to teleport ourselves.
Well, of course. You already innately have that ability. All beings do. And it's just a matter of understanding a few ideas. But you can also, shall we say, mimic it technologically. You can, in other words, give yourself a technological excuse for letting yourself teleport. You understand? So, in that sense, it's sort of like a crutch. But, yes, of course, beings do it all the time, really, and they may not always be aware of it. It's the same thing we do with our ships as well. So in that sense, we allow our technology to be more reflective of the idea. And this is really the principle, at least as we understand it, that teleportation is based on. Are you paying attention?
Yes.
All right. Are you paying attention? All right. Now, do you have a small object, a pen, a penny, anything like that? Well, I mean, just all of you. You can keep it. I don't need it. But just take it out and perhaps hold it in one hand or put it on the floor or put it on your leg. Doesn't matter. As long as it is there and you can see it on one of your legs and one of your hands on the floor in one position, however you wish to do it, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Are you doing this?
Yes.
All right. What object are you using?
I have a quarter.
A quarter. All right. Now, understand that quarter has a certain vibrational signature. You follow me?
Yes.
All right. That signature is what makes it what you perceive to be a quarter. That equation, that energy equation, vibrational signature equation, in your understanding of consciousness, allows you to perceive that concept as a quarter. Make sense?
Yes.
Now, take that quarter, or whatever object you are all using, and put it in the other hand. Have you done this?
Yes.
All right. Now, I want to explain something to you. That's a different quarter. It's not the same quarter because it now has a different vibrational signature. Why? Because it's in a different location. And here's the key. Remember, first of all, that continuity is an illusion that you create with consciousness. You are creating the illusion of continuity that says it's the same quarter. It's the same quarter that was here, and now it's the same quarter, but it's over here. That phrase, but it's over here, contains a lot of interesting information, because what it actually means is this. An object does not exist in a location. Location is one of the properties of the object. The equation of the quarter in one hand is not the same as the equation of the quarter in the other hand. The variable in the equation that has changed is the locational one. It's a different equation, and thus a different quarter. But continuity is created with consciousness between them. Now, teleportation is this idea, and this is how we have applied it to our spacecraft. And in a sense, this is how beings use it who do it naturally. When you understand that location is a variable of the equation of the property of the object, if you are capable of figuring out some way to change that locational variable to represent the signature of another location, by definition, the object must cease being in location A and must suddenly start being in location B because you've changed its equation without traveling in between. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The idea is that any point in space has a locational equation to it. And if you say, well, all right, I'm going to change the locational variable gradually from point to point to point and create a sense of continuity, an illusion of continuity, then what you get is this kind of motion where you can see some kind of intervening occupancy of the object through a series of different locational spaces, going from here to here. And you say, well, it traveled, but it's actually teleporting from here to 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 here. Now, if you understand that you just simply need the vibration of location A and the vibration of location Z, and you don't need all the ones in the middle, then you can simply have an object with vibration location A, impose upon it somehow the vibrational location of Z, and it will simply stop being here and start being here without going through all of the middle points. Make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Does that help?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, when contact occurs, one of the things we talked about before in terms of the energy of our civilization overwhelming the energy of an individual from your civilization, this would also be one of the side effects, because as we are more connected to many different kinds of dimensions of our consciousness, then all of those so-called imposed barriers of location also break down within our consciousness, barriers of time, barriers of space. All those ideas of barriers no longer exist. So, to add to the idea that our presence, exposure to our presence, would not only bring up issues you're not necessarily willing to face into your mind consciously, it would also begin to break down the barriers of time and space for you. And again, that must be done at a pace you are ready to handle, so that you don't just simply pop out of your existence and not come back. Continue.
Okay. Now, I thought that was interesting, and I it was based on teleportation. But there's another video that I would like to bring up tonight on this issue. And it's called The Key to the Higher Mind. I don't know if I played this last week or not, but okay. But I'm going to play that anyway. The Key to the Higher Mind, and it might enlighten us a little. Here you go.
Say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all?
Yeah.
I will take that as okay. We thank you, each and every one of you individually, all of you together collectively, for the co-creation of this interaction. Once again, each and every time your civilization interacts with our civilization in this way, it creates a link, a bridge, and a third reality in which we can, one day, interact more and more closely, more and more immediately. So we thank you for the co-creation of this new paradigm, this new reality in which we can all together learn to play. This day of your time, this transmission will begin with a discussion of imagination. Now, we have talked about imagination many times. We would like to take the concept a little bit further this day of your time. We have reminded you of the synchronicity in many of the words that exist in various languages on your planet. We understand the channel's language is English, and in this context, we point out again, as many of you are already familiar with, the synchronicity of the word imagination, I, magi, nation. A nation of magicians is what you are. And you can use your imagination to create the kind of nation, the kind of world that you prefer. Imagination is an extremely powerful tool, and we will discuss in what ways this is so and how you can apply your imagination in very powerful ways to allow and to create the kinds of changes that you would prefer to represent within your lives individually and, again, within your lives collectively, globally. And as you thus then move out into the cosmos, into the stars, and join with us eventually, you will find imagination is going to play a very key role in your ability to do that. So let us begin. We will remind you, first of all, that we have talked about the idea that imagination is the conduit between your higher mind and your physical mind. It is the pipeline through which your higher mind communicates with you, and through which, in receiving that communication, you can then, as physical beings, as physical personalities, apply the information, the imagination that comes from higher mind, the communication into your physical lives, to alter them, to change them in ways that are more reflective of your passion, your excitement, your joy, your preference, or not. It is up to you to use this positively or negatively. It is up to you. But imagination is the key to allow an alignment to occur. And if you are willing to use your imagination without filtering the communication from your higher mind through belief systems that contain fear, then you will find that the outcome can always be a positive one, and you can always amplify and magnify that in any direction, in any area of your lives whatsoever, no matter what. Higher mind, again, I remind you, has the far-seeing point of view. It stands on the mountaintop. It can see all the pathways you could possibly take in life, and it guides you toward the path of least resistance, the path that is most truly you. As we have said many times, the vibration of excitement, the vibration of passion is what functions like the compass needle. It is your magnetic north to your true self by following your passion, by following your excitement, by pointing the needle in that direction only. You will always be completely, purely, squarely on the path that is most truly you, your core, true, natural self. Your imagination is the conduit through which your higher mind can guide you in this very easily, if you allow it to be effortless, which you can. physical mind then chooses in physical reality various ideas of how to apply these ideas coming from the higher mind in ways that are also pleasing to the physical being that you are, the physical personality that you are, and you learn to work in concert as a whole being, as a whole person with the higher mind. For if the physical mind thinks that it must take on the job of figuring everything out, how is this going to happen? How can I make this happen? How can I bring everything together to get this to happen? If the physical mind thinks that it must be the only one doing that job, it is going to be burdened. It is going to be weighed down. It is going to be tired. Because the physical mind is not designed to know how things will happen. The physical mind is only designed to know how things have happened. The idea is thus then to trust the higher mind will let you know that if the higher mind is sending you information that pushes you in the direction of your passion and you trust that, what the higher mind is telling you is that by following your passion, the how will be taken care of because the higher mind can see how you're going to get there, and the translation of that how through the imagination is the physical sensation of excitement, joy, passion, and love. That's how the higher mind speaks to the physical mind through the conduit of imagination, with those feelings, those vibrations, those energies, those pictures.
Okay, that was the key to the higher mind segment. And I'm going to refer you to YouTube on this, Bashar, up on YouTube, and check out... you can check out Key to the Higher Mind. That'll come up. But Bashar is a B-A-S-H-A-R. Fascinating individual. My last video tonight, or the last segment I wanted to play was Bashar on Abundance and Trusting in What Is. And let's listen to that together and I'll have a few minutes to comment on it.
The crux of my question is,
yeah.
is really how do you balance out? You know, I have the old baggage, so to speak, of times when I used to do that, what I thought was 100%, and enjoying it, but having, you know, monetary problems.
But
and
then you knew you were not really doing it 100%.
Mm.
Because, again, understand, it's all about defining the concept of abundance and how you relate to the concept of abundance. Are you familiar with our definition of abundance?
I don't think so.
All right. I will share it with you, if I may.
Okay.
Well, are you paying attention?
Yes, I am.
Abundance. The ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Period. Did you hear anything in that definition that said anything about money?
No.
Did you hear anything in that definition that said anything about any particular way in which the abundance had to come?
No.
The ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. That's abundance. Period. Now, it can come in the form of money, but we understand that on your planet very often you are trained to think that money is the only representation of abundance, and when you have a definition that focuses you on money being the only doorway through which abundance can come, then you're actually closing and locking all the other doorways through which the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it could actually come to you because you refuse to identify or label those things equally as abundant as money. You follow me?
I do follow.
Now, when you allow all manner of abundance to be equal and equally valid, then whatever is the way that is the path of least resistance can come to you, be it money, be it someone gifting you something, be it that you simply synchronistically happen across a circumstance that allows you to do what you need to do, be it any way that it may come. Then when they're all equal, the one that is the path of least resistance can flow to you without resistance because you are allowing it not to have a specialness that singles it out and focuses an undue amount of energy on that particular way needing to be the way to manifest your abundance. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, in moving forward, now with your new understanding of following your excitement, can you apply this definition to the idea and trust that whatever form of abundance needs to be there to allow you to do what you need to do will be all right, even if it doesn't come in the form that you might expect it ought to?
Well,
that usually means no.
I'm trying really hard.
Oh, I know, but you see, that's the problem.
I know.
Don't try to.
Yeah, I'm one of the people that complicates things more than needs to be.
All right, well, I guess you find that a help.
I guess that's part of my problem. My question was, you know, I was trying to strip away those old belief systems and things that I have experienced in the past for whatever reason.
Yes, well, here's the paradox. And it goes back to the issue of saying that you don't want to waste time. Spending time going through the process. The more you enjoy the process itself, the faster it will go. That's the paradox. The more you're all right with the process itself of discovering what your beliefs are as an act unto itself that's worth having, the faster it will go, because the faster you will be using it up by staying right with it, by being excited about having that process. So that in and of itself is an art form. The first art form to master is simply being here and now with what is happening, trusting that what is happening for a reason. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening. So if you are willing to accept that whatever part of the process is happening for the purpose of putting you in touch with more of yourself so that you can expand and get that reflection back from reality of your expansion, then you will be excited about anything the process has to show you. It will actually be experienced as a piece of performance art. And by getting into it and diving into it and being the performance artist and the art piece itself, then you will allow it to move very rapidly through you, to process very rapidly, because you're willing to accept everything that's happening as necessary, as a part of the piece, as a part of the art, as something to look at, as something to investigate, as something that will increase your understanding of who and what you are as a co-creator. If you look at it that way and stay in that energy, believe me, very quickly you will explode in many different directions and your reality will explode toward you with many different things that will support you. Does that make sense?
Very much so, yes.
Does that help?
Yeah, it helps. Yes, it's great.
Does it answer your question?
It does answer my question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here left, and I want to possibly do a little more, possibly do one more here. Bashar is a fascinating character. I hope you really enjoyed this. Are you getting something from this? It was, it's something that I felt was quite good. Creative spiritual expression. I think I'll pass on that one. take action, Bashar and the channeled state. We don't have that much time left to run that one. That's 9 minutes. But I'd like to, let me see if we get a quicker one. And yeah, we already touched that ET contact workshop. Let's try the that's 10 minutes. If we get 5 minutes. This is about 3 minutes long. The rubber band analogy. The farther back you pull the rubber band into the darkness, when you finally decide to let it go, that's how much farther and stops there. So let's find out what that is. Rubber band analogy by Bashar.
Another analogy we have used with regard to the idea of the darkness, the experience of the darkness you have created on your planet, to give it a positive spin, is what we have called the rubber band analogy. And the way we explain that is just as you have on your planet the idea of a rubber band, and you know that if you take a rubber band and pull it back and let it go, it shoots off in another direction, the opposite direction. The idea of the degree to which you have chosen to experience limitation and darkness on your planet is actually a beautiful thing, because the degree to which you experience the darkness is the degree to which you will also experience the light. The rubber band analogy is that the farther back you pull the rubber band into the darkness, when you finally decide to let go, that's how much farther and faster it will shoot on the other side. Because you're giving it all that momentum, all that energy, by pulling it so far back into the darkness. So when you do reach critical mass and you do cross the threshold and you do finally let go after straining for so long to hold it back here in the darkness, it will shoot very quickly onto the other side and go that much further into the light. And that's why your planet is so fascinating to so many beings, is because, well, I'll just put it this way in your lingo, you're where it's all happening. It's a very exciting world. You're going through a very exciting transformation. And you are allowing us, and we thank you, to go along for the ride and learn from you. Believe me, what you're going through, what you've gone through, is not for naught. Other planets that are going through similar things, but maybe not quite as intensively, are learning from you, because we pass along information from your experiences to them. And then they go, well, if they can do it, anyone can do it. If they can find light from that much darkness, our problems don't look so bad. So thank you, Earth, for being the advanced university of limitation and release. Limitation and release.
Okay. And with that, we'll end the show tonight. That was the rubber band analogy. And you can get that again on YouTube under Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. I hope you do. And please join our discussion, or join, you know, you can go on the chat and listen. Whatever you decide to do, you may do. And support is quiet tonight. Chat room, but we appreciate you joining us if you did, and hope you had a good time. Join us tomorrow night when we have George Dixon with us. And thank you, and have a pleasant evening.